ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Where you at, New Orleans? No, this is not GCAT. I've got him locked in the basement, handcuffed, duct tape, smacked around a little bit. But eventually, I'll let him out for some food, some air, maybe, you know, a little time to run around outside and play. It's okay. You got me today. I am Brian Bieniemy. You all know me as Brian Enola East. And of course, this is the Sports Hangover. Got a really good show lined up for you today. Me and my guy, Jordan the Intern, as I like to call him, Jay Smooth. We're going to be doing it today real big. Like, so you guys tune in today. Going to have a good show. Definitely going to talk about the Saints. Are you guys scared of the Philadelphia Eagles since, you know, the national pundits out there are telling you how Nick Foles is going to walk into New Orleans and smack you around a little bit? Are you afraid of the big bad Dallas Cowboys? Because apparently they're just going to walk into L.A. and have a home game and just walk out, you know, basically the Super Bowl champs after one win. Are you all loving what the Pelicans are doing? Because we're definitely going to get into some Pels action in the second hour. Just to see, are you okay with what you see AD doing in the Pels? Do you believe that they can turn it around and make it happen? And of course, in the last hour, back to the Saints, your phone calls, your text messages, the number to join us, 1-800-998-1003. This is ESPN New Orleans 100.3 FM. And I just want to get straight into it simply because I need to ask you all how you feel about what's going on. I'm under the impression, based on everything I'm seeing from the national guys, from First Take to Undisputed, Good Morning Football, Get Up, Get Out, Get Going. I don't know, whoever it is, I'm hearing the same thing from everybody. Nick Foles magic. Oh, Nick Foles is going to walk into the Superdome, drop 41 points on the Saints, and he's going to avenge that loss that Carson Wentz couldn't do. Do you believe that? Do you out there believe that Nick Foles is going to erase 41 points? Anybody remember what happened the last time the Philadelphia Eagles were in New Orleans? 48-7. And of course, right now the Saints are playing the role of Muhammad Ali. And what do I mean by that? Well, it's really, really simple. Muhammad Ali beat you before you stepped in the ring. He beat you psychologically. He told you before it was going to happen, I'm going to knock you out in the eighth round. So now the entire time you're in the ring with him, you're not even trying to beat Ali. You're trying to last until the ninth round. And that's exactly what the Saints have done to the Philadelphia Eagles. They put the Muhammad Ali on them. They've let them know that we can smash you not only with our guys Mike Thomas and Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram. No, we're going to use guys like Keith Kirkwood, Dan Arnold, Taysom Hill. You know, we're going to use these guys. And we're just going to run all over you. So now the Philadelphia Eagles have a problem. Who do you try to stop? Do you try to double on Mike Thomas? Do you try to you know, get to the line of scrimmage and put some bodies on Alvin Kamara? Or do you take your chances one-on-one with Ted Ginn running a double move going deep down the field? Pick your poison. However you want to let it go. The New Orleans Saints right now are in the heads of the Philadelphia Eagles. It's all over the place right now. Jason Peters, Eagles left tackle, coming out saying, I don't like the fact that the Saints ran up the score on us. Really? Then maybe you should have went to your defense and say, hey, can you stop these guys? But nah, that's not good enough. Be mad at the Saints for doing what they're supposed to do. By the way, when the Saints allegedly ran up the score, 13 minutes, 17 seconds left in the fourth quarter when Alvin Kamara finally went in for that touchdown.
This isn't peewee football we're talking about. This is professional NFL football.
There's no mercy rule. Yeah, there's no mercy rule.
They get paid to play the game.
That, you know, last time I checked, you know, those guys play defense. You know, they're supposed to get paid to play out there. But apparently, no. Doesn't work that way. Philadelphia Eagles got hurt feelings right now. They're all in their feels. And it's okay. Don't worry. The Saints will take care of that real soon. And that's just a part of it. Because you also have to worry about the fact that the Dallas Cowboys are getting a whole lot of love right now. If you listen to the national pundits, it's all Dallas this and Philadelphia that. But when has that ever worked out well for them? Because last week I heard it was all Chicago Bears. Oh, the mighty Bears. Lewis Riddick pounding his chest. Sticking his little bird chest out there telling you how the Bears are the team to beat. They're the team that's going to walk into New Orleans and smash the Saints. How'd that work out? Did the Bears make it, or are they in hibernation right now?
They're in hibernation.
I thought so. And just a little breaking news that popped up. I want to put this out here, national NFL news real quickly. It's the idea that the Browns and Broncos have now named their head coaches. Vic Fangio, longtime defensive coordinator of the same Chicago Bears I just mentioned, he's now going to be leading up the Denver Broncos. And Freddie Kitchens, the offensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns.
It's going to be interesting to see that defense next year now that he's gone.
Yeah, because Greg Williams got, you know, he got his pink slip. He gone. No longer there. So I'm interested to see what Freddie Kitchens is going to do with Baker Mayfield moving forward and who he's going to bring in for defensive coordinator, because as we now know, the Browns have a loaded roster. I mean, they're absolutely ready to rock and roll. They just need somebody that can come in and not crash the car. Speaking of which, I got the keys to the car today, about to do 90 on I-10. But it's okay. Back to the Saints. I need to know from you all, 1-800-998-1003. Of course, you can always tweet the show at ESPN NOLA. Tell me what you guys feel about the question of the day, which is, last year, the New Orleans Saints brought in Reggie Bush to lead the Who Dat Chant. This year, I want to know who you guys think would be the perfect candidate to lead the Who Dat Chant. So far, we've got names such as Ricky Jackson. We've got names like Greg Williams. Yeah, I know he's available, but I doubt he's going to be there. There's Brian Milne. And for all of you who don't remember what happened, Azakeem drops the ball. Brian Milne's the guy that recovered it.
And then we have Steve Gleason up at the top.
I love the idea of bringing in Steve Gleason and Ricky Jackson so far. I love that, especially what's going on with Ricky Jackson lately. You know, prayers for him for, you know, a speedy recovery. I know he's kind of doing better now, but seeing Ricky Jackson out there might do something. And, I mean, I'm going to throw this out there. Right now, there's a wave going on in New Orleans of chopper style, and everybody in the NFL is copying it. By the way, just want to put that out there. That's not actually the chopper style dance. Just want to point that out. But there's a wave going on with chopper style right now. Would it be cool to see Chopper come out and lead the Who Dat Chant and or perform in a Superdome prior to the game being started? I see Dez Bryant's name popping up a lot. I like that one, but I'm not going to lie. I would rather hold Dez for when the Saints see the Cowboys. I think that would be the ultimate sign of a slap in the face for the Saints to not only win that game, but do it with Dez Bryant being the guy that leads the Who Dat Chant, Mr. Cowboy himself. So that's the question of the day so far going out there. The next question of the day we're going to put up in the 2 o'clock, I'm sorry, in the second hour, because that's the hour we're going to talk Pels. We're going to bring in David Grubb, Crescent City Sports. He's going to talk Pels with us. But later on in this hour, we're going to bring in Shakira Martin. She's from Fox 15 out there in Lafayette, Louisiana. We want to get an outside perspective of what's going on, because in New Orleans, we're going to be biased. Most of us anyway. There are some of you Cowboy fans that live in New Orleans. I'm looking for you now. Fades on deck. But that's for a later time. I need to. Oh, my man T-Bone is on the line. So we're going to take this call real quick because I want to make sure we get all the callers in today. It's not about me. It's not about me being in charge. It's about us. I started off as a caller. So let's go to the caller lines. Let's see what's going on. What's up, T-Bone? What's happening?
How you doing, man? I am first time, long time. I am a New Orleanian who loves the Eagles just a little more than I love the Saints because I'm from Pennsylvania. How you doing, man?
You're hurting my feelings right now, my brother, but that's okay because the guest I just told you about, Shakira Martin, she's also an Eagles fan who's now here in the Louisiana area. So tell me your thoughts on what's going on with the Eagles and Nick Foles' magic.
He's just a different dude, man. He's very cool. He believes in a higher power. He gets the ball out quicker than Carson Wentz. He doesn't hold on to it as much. He hasn't taken sacks. Like, Carson Wentz will try to do a little too much maybe and take some sacks. And you know what? He's kind of a basketball player that moves the ball around and can pick people apart. So I think I'm not saying he's better than Carson Wentz. He's just different. And that offense plays a little different when he's involved. And I think, I think the big difference, and I think if you watch the first game, Saints ran it and it basically punched the Eagles in the face and ran all over them, right? And that set up everything else the Saints did. I think that there's some changes in the defensive line that are worth noting. I mean, that game, the Eagles had a bunch of walk-ons basically playing the second defensive tackle spot, Hester and Hector. Hester's now famous from tipping that punt on special teams. But the two guys for the Eagles who are back is Tim Jernigan, who's a stud defensive tackle, and Nagata, right, who they picked up, I think it was from Detroit last year, who's like 360-pound run stopper. I don't think either one of those guys, they've been hurt, and they weren't in the first game. So I think that just by having those two excellent pros on the defensive line will make the Eagles a little tougher to run on, and that'll take some of the pressure off the linebackers on play action and whatnot. I think it makes it a little bit of a different game. Plus, Jordan Hicks is 100% back, our best linebacker's back. So, you know, I think the front seven on defense of the Eagles is a little better than it was the last game. And the secondary, yeah, we don't have our two starting corners and our free safeties out. But the kids who they've had playing back there have kind of settled in a little bit. They got a couple more games experience. And, yeah, they're going to lose, and Breeze is going to crush them on some double moves because they're young and they bite on that stuff, right? He'll get them on those. But they're definitely a little better back there, too, and settled in. They've been playing in the same position. So I'm not sitting here saying I think the Eagles are likely to win, but I don't think it's going to be a blowout like it was, and we're still going to play a football game on Sunday, right?
No question, and I love where you went with that, because I kind of feel the same way. While I don't think it's going to be a 41-point blowout, I still think the Saints will win this game in dominating fashion, maybe not to the tune of 41 points, of course, but, I mean, if you win by 17, it's still kind of a blowout. But I will ask you this, because it's something you kind of alluded to while you were talking just now. It's the idea of the team just seems to play a little bit differently, and right now the big talk around the league from national pundits locally, I mean, it's trickled down here because of the Saints playing the Eagles. What happens if Nick Foles does the unthinkable? You know, as an Eagles fan, do you think the Eagles should keep a guy like Nick Foles and say, you know what, he's the starter now, and maybe try to package something to get, you know, package up some kind of program, you know, I guess get some kind of package for Carson Wentz is what I want to say. Or do you think you try to roll with both because Nick Foles has a $20 million contract but a $2 million buyout? How would you see the Eagles moving forward? Should Nick Foles do the unthinkable? And we're going to get to Seth next after you answer.
Well, you can't afford to have both, right? You can't afford to have both. Nick Foles is $20 million. It's $2 million. He has a $2 million buyout if they keep him. If they franchise tag him, it's going to be $25 million, right? So you're talking about real money that they can't afford because, like, Brandon Graham, who's their best defensive end, is up, and they got to pay him a king's ransom as well if they want to keep him. So they got some tough economic decisions. They can't keep both. If you know the GM for the Eagles is Howie Roseman, right, who's shrewd as hell and trades like crazy. I think he's going to – I mean, if Nick Foles goes all the way, you know, you got to look at what you could get for either one of them. I'm not married to either guy. I mean, I'm telling you, Nick Foles goes and represents well all the way through this playoffs, and you can get two first-round picks for Carson Wentz. Bye-bye, Carson Wentz, you know. If you can get – you know, there was someone wrote that maybe you could get a trade swap and get the fourth pick, you know, from Oakland by giving up our first round pick, we could maybe rotate into the fourth pick, Oakland's for Nick Foles. If you could do that and you could put get another great defensive lineman for in the fourth slot of the draft this year, you'd have to get rid of Nick Foles. So one of them's going to go. It's just. There's not enough. It's not possible economically to keep them both, and I think people should just be open-minded about it. What do I think is going to happen? I think it's very tough for them to move away from Carson Wentz just because his moments have been when he's had moments. It's been shocking. Yeah. But I mean, what kind of team would trade a guy if he plays well, win or lose? How could you think about getting rid of Nick Foles if the team plays better and you admit to that? It's a tough position, but I think the Howie Roseman guy is the GM. He's a shrewd guy. He's going to do what's right for the team, and everybody can and damn the torpedoes. I think he will. So I think it really comes down to what it's going to be economics about. You have two good choices, and what are they both worth in a trade, and what makes sense? I mean, Foles is 30. Carson Wentz is 23 or 24. So I guess you try to opt for the younger guy, but Nick Foles hasn't had injuries. Carson Wentz has a bad knee, and he's got a fractured back.
Absolutely right on that, man. It's the injuries that are going to probably do Carson Wentz in his time for Philadelphia if the Eagles should make it to the next round and kind of possibly going to win a Super Bowl. T-Bone, I hate to cut you off, brother. Thanks for the call. We got to get to Seth before we go to break, but don't be a stranger, man. Call into the Sports Hangover even when Gus is back. I'm not going to be mad at that.
All right, man. Lots of love to you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, man. Take care. Go to Seth real quick before we hit the break. Seth, what's going on, my brother? How are you?
I'm doing great. Katrina was the best thing that happened to your city. Fly, Eagles, fly, die, Kamara, die.
You know, there was a part of him in that insolent nonsense that he was babbling about just now that kind of thought he made a point. if Katrina was the best thing that happened to our city, guess what? I'm going to agree with you, because all it did was wash away all of the bad sins of past New Orleans Saints teams. Do you remember what the Saints were like prior to Katrina? You could barely give a ticket away to the Saints games. So now if Katrina's the best thing that ever happened to the city, you're damn right it was. Because now look at the city. Back, vibrant, on top, celebrating. 300 years strong, baby. If Katrina's the worst, if the best thing that ever happened, then we'll take it as a gift and a curse. Not going to be mad that you found yourself trying to be stupid and call in and say that. Not at all. I welcome the trolling. But the only problem is, you're talking to the top tier troll. The Sultan of Slander. I am the king of what you're trying to do. So what you should do is follow me on Twitter at public_B_enemy. And we can discuss it all day. But believe me when I say this, you will not like when I clap back. Fly, Eagles, fly till it gets shot down. We're going to take a break real quick. And then when we come back, I'm probably going to slander that idiot some more. But in between that, we're going to talk some Saints football. And of course, we have the lovely, brilliant Shakira Martin coming up from Fox 15 in Lafayette, Louisiana, because she's also an Eagles fan, so she's got to catch a little bit of this slander as well. We will be back on the Sports Hangover, and of course, the first hour brought to you by the King Injury Firm. 909-KING. Of course, you got to use the 504 area code. Go and see Jason. Go and see the guys over there. They'll take good care of you. We're going to be back after the break, and I'll run it down a better way than that. We'll see you soon.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the king at 909-KING.
Join the winning team with Polo Auto Air in Houma. They service all RVs, mobile homes, including fifth wheel, campers, refrigerators, AC units, leveling systems, accepts all extended warranties and some factory warranties. They do work on AC automobiles, specializes in the repair and services for over 30 years. They specialize as an RVIA certified tech on recreational vehicles. Polo Auto Air, North Hollywood Road in Houma, 985-876-1934.
Thursdays have lunch with the Sports Hangover at our ESPN Lunch Club, as we're live at Vinny's in Metairie, 3217 Ridgelake Drive. Each and every Thursday, we'll do the show live from Vinny's, where you can enjoy delicious fresh wraps, burgers, and more. Vinny's is also home to the best happy hour in town, 3 to 7 p.m. every day. And that happy hour includes signature cocktails. Stop in this and every Thursday at Vinny's, 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie, for the Sports Hangover, 12 to 3 p.m. on ESPN New Orleans.
If pests are pestering you, call the experts at Terminix. They'll rid your home or business of disease-carrying rats, mice, roaches, spiders, even crazy ants. Call your local pest control experts at Terminix for a free inspection. Terminix also offers home insulation. In La Rose, call 693-3152. That's 693-3152. 693-3152. Terminix, power over pests.
When the sun comes up, people around here are already in motion. Vision Communications is no exception. We've built miles and miles of fiber optic network right here. Our goal is simple, constant improvement, so we can continue to bring your family quality service for telephone, internet, television, and home security. Day in and day out, we will not stop moving forward. We call it bringing you a better vision. More than a slogan, it's a promise. Vision Communications.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the king at 909-KING.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Where you at, New Orleans? No, it's not Gus Kattengill, but you got me, Brian Enola East. Some of you all know me as Brian Bienemy by my government name. But before we went to the break, there was an Eagles fan that called and decided that he was going to let us know exactly how he felt about not only the Saints, but the city of New Orleans, in which he said Katrina was the best thing that ever happened to the city. Fly, Eagles, fly, and some other nonsense he was spewing. I couldn't even make it out. I mean, I don't speak gibberish.
Let's not even play into the troll.
No, not at all. But what I will say is, he kind of has a point. Maybe not the best thing that ever happened, but definitely sparked a resurgent for New Orleans. So thank you for reminding us of that. And don't worry, we'll slap you around real good for saying that on Sunday. But now we go to my man Troy, who's been kind of holding through the break. Thanks a lot for calling, Troy. 1-800-998-1003, ESPN NOLA. What's up, Troy?
Hey, what's up, B-Man? Been missing you on the Who Dat Confession. It's nice to hear you on the air again, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that, brother. Thank you.
Hey, I didn't hear him say that about Katrina. I guess I was calling in at the time. But the reason I called, he's talking about their front seven is so much better than the last time they played us. Yeah, they get Timmy Jernigan back. But he said they didn't have Haloti Ngata. They didn't have Jordan Hicks. I rewatched the game last night, and I'm actually looking at the stat line from that game. Haloti Ngata had 2 tackles. Jordan Hicks had 7 tackles. What is this guy talking about, man? Their team's basically the same garbage team they were then, and they're going to get blown out again. They got secondary. It's the same team.
I can see it happening. Like, I'll say this. I say it jokingly, and I've said it jokingly a couple of times, that too many people are making it seem as if Nick Foles can make up a 41-point gap. And now, I think the game will be closer this time? Yeah, I think it's closer. But if we're talking about 48-24, congratulations, you still lost by 24 points. It's not like you made a huge climb. So do I think it'll be as big of a blowout as last time? No, I think the Eagles are going to show some pride. They're going to come out. They're going to try to play a little bit tougher. But I'll share this rumor with you guys because it's something that I heard. Now, I can't verify this. So, again, it's only a rumor. Don't take it to be, you know, what really happened. But maybe this will motivate not only, you know, the players, if they can get a whiff of this, because I'm pretty sure that it did. But it's going to also juice up the fan base. I heard a little rumor that we all know Sean Payton for being the guy that likes to, you know, kind of remind guys that, you know, he'll put the cheese in the locker room or the mouse traps to tell guys, you know, he once upon a time he put like a bucket of sand or something on Greg Williams' plate to kind of remind him that, you know, stop talking so much. We all know Sean uses these motivational tactics. Well, apparently, Sean allegedly, don't can't verify this, but allegedly brought in $225,000 in cash. And on top of $225,000 in cash was the Lombardi Trophy. And allegedly, he says, do you guys want this? The $225,000 and the Lombardi. The locker room says yes. Sean Payton says, well, if you want it, win 3 games and it's yours. Lombardi, $225,000. And the locker room apparently erupts after this happens. If that ain't motivation to go out there and smack the Eagles once again, I don't know what is. What about you, Troy?
Hey, I agree. That's complete motivation. I don't think they need that, though. They're a better team, clearly. One other thing, man. You got Gus locked in the closet. Don't let him out before Friday because I don't want to. And you can control the show. Don't go to Deuce's old Saint kitchen because I don't want to hear Jay Hargrave crying about how the Eagles are going to beat him.
You know what? You're absolutely right about that.
Don't let Jay on.
Not at all, man. Jay is the Grim Reaper, man. So apparently there are 2 people we can't allow to happen, man. We can't allow Drake anywhere around the team, and we can't allow Jay to speak on
the
Eagles winning.
I agree.
I appreciate the phone call, Troy, man. Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate that, man. Thank you so much.
Later, bud. Bye-bye.
You got it.
Yeah, we can't let Drake put on a Saints.
Drake can – I mean, if Drake – I'm serious. I'm not joking. He got to instantly catch hands if anybody sees him.
There's Gus Kattengill, and then there's Drake with bad luck. Drake's on another level.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
If there's somebody out there with a bigger curse than Gus. Wow.
Drake.
You all love Drake, too.
I love Drake also.
Yeah.
Gus doesn't like Drake.
No, Gus hates, I mean, he hates Drake's music. I mean, you play God's Plan and Gus almost like goes into like a hissy fit. But back to the Saints, because I want to make sure we talk enough about what happened this weekend and kind of maybe fast forward that a little bit into what we're going to be seeing coming up this weekend. And it's the Eagles going to Chicago, and so many people are pretending, and I do mean the word pretending, that Nick Foles went out there and absolutely lit up the Chicago Bears. They pretend he was 27 of 30 for 400 yards and 3 touchdowns. Did you guys pay attention to that game at any chance? Did you watch it? Did you see Nick Foles struggling most of the game? Yes, I understand it was in Chicago. I know the weather. I know what Soldier Field. I know the Bears have a good defense. He couldn't put up more than 16 points, and the Bears were giving that game away, giving it to him. He had 2 turnovers. Neither one of those teams wanted to win that game. But you listen to the national pundits, and they will tell you, Nick Foles' magic. He was absolutely phenomenal.
The Eagles are the number 1 seed in the NFC.
You would think that by the way they're doing it right now, wouldn't you? You would think that the Eagles and the Cowboys are the 1-2 seed. They have home field advantage and the Saints have no chance. And then you look at the numbers and you see, wait a minute. Nick Foles was, I believe, if I'm not mistaken on this, I believe he was 24 of 40. Two picks. Are you serious? This is the guy that's going to walk into New Orleans with that defense, who's going to be able to shut down the run and basically say Nick Foles is going to have to beat us with the pass. We all understand who Nick Foles' favorite target is. It's Alshon Jeffrey. So if I'm Sean Payton in the Saints, I clamp up Jeffrey. You put Lattimore on him. Good night, Irene. I don't understand what's so difficult about that. We got Steven on the line. Let's go to Steven real quick and get his thoughts. What's up, Steve?
I'm sorry.
We're waiting on Chef to hear about a couple different things.
Okay. We can maybe check it in or?
Yeah, well, I'm still checking.
Apparently, Steven, Steven is at Chick-fil-A or something. Steven, what you ordering, bro? I'm hungry.
Yeah, hello?
Steven, where you at, man? I'm hungry, bro. If you're ordering Chick-fil-A, brother, I'm here. I'm here.
Well, we lost.
It's okay. Call back, bro. Call back. We got you. EF, what up, family?
What up, fam? How you doing, bro? Good to hear you on the radio, man.
Thank you, my brother. It's always appreciated, man. This is EF, the legendary DJ EF Cutton from Three the Hallway Podcast. Appreciate you chiming in, my brother.
Oh, man, thanks for the plug. But dig it, man. You know, don't pay attention to what nobody out of the NFC least says. The NFC least for a reason. And, like, so the dude that called talking about who didn't play, well, let me refresh his memory on who really didn't play. Ted Ginn didn't play.
Amen.
Marcus Davenport didn't play.
Wow.
Ron Armstead didn't play.
Preach.
And we still hung 48. So
easy money.
We could have put up two more touchdowns.
They really could have because they started kneeling on the ball with 13 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, I love what you're bringing to the table right now, brother, because what nobody's paying attention to is it wasn't Michael Thomas that snapped in that game. It wasn't Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. It was Austin Carr, Dan Arnold, Traquan Smith, Keith Kirkwood. These are the guys that burned you the first time around.
Yep. Now imagine imagine coming Sunday, ski mask season in full effect, and 80,000 people in that dome got ski masks on. They're going to be terrified.
It's definitely ski mask season, man. But what I don't understand, and maybe you can help me with this one, EF, is the idea of why are so many people kind of playing the Eagles as the role of the underdog? Did they not remember what happened to the Saints last year in the divisional round?
Right. But you know what? I like that. That's cool. We play better when we're doubted. Our team plays better when we got chips and boulders on our shoulders. I don't want praise. That's why I was glad we got Philly instead of Dallas so Stephen A. loudmouth behind could stay where he's at.
Amen.
Because I don't need him on our bandwagon. Our bandwagon is we got a nice, tight bandwagon. We don't need no loudmouth interlopers on it. So we got the right squad. We got the right matchup. We're going to go put the beats down on them. And then next week, whoever it is, L.A. or Dallas, they don't want to see it. They really don't.
Like, before you get out of here, man.
Chess the last month.
Before you get out of here, give me a prediction. Give me a score prediction and tell me who would you want to lead the Who That Chant this week?
Let me see. Who leads the Who That Chant this week?
Yes.
I would like for him to bring back Jonathan Vilma.
I like that.
Jimmy Jonathan Vilma to lead the Who That Chant, and I'm picking the score to be 38-17 Saints.
My man, appreciate the phone call, brother. Y'all check out Three the Hallway Podcast with my man EF,
all right, my man.
Shanice, and of course, my man 11 Ward Nick. Appreciate you, brother.
All right, my man, B's.
You got it. We're going to go to Trent real quick. What's up, Trent? What's going on this time, bro? You ordered your food?
Oh, yeah, how you doing, Brian? I'm okay. I was just listening to all these people that's doubting the Saints. And Maurice Jones-Drew on ESPN. He says, like, Nick Foles.
Oh, man, that boy, though.
I don't understand him, but they struggled. Their defense struggled against a two-year quarterback. We have the best quarterback in the league right now. So just imagine what Drew Brees is going to do that defense.
No question about it. And even in the idea that people are kind of, you know, doubting us and, you know, Philadelphia is all of a sudden this team that wants all the smoke. I mean, are people forgetting what the Saints do at home? They're looking at the fact that the Dallas game and the Carolina, well, what they need to remember that the Saints were on the road for those games. And even with the Carolina game at home, they really didn't care about that game. On top of that, they played division opponents. They struggled with Tampa, division opponent who's not afraid of you. They struggled with Carolina, division opponent that's not afraid of you, that you beat three times last year and wanted to get a win. So if we're looking at it that way, and even the Dallas game, the Saints defense did not allow a score in the second half. So for as bad as the Saints played that game, they still had a chance to win. If Sean Payton kicks that field goal and it goes through right before, I believe it was right before the half. If he takes the field goal and still trying to go from the points, this is a tie game that we're talking about with Breeze having a chance to go down, kick a winning field goal. So people are really hopping on this Eagles bandwagon trying to think the Saints are playing badly. Did they not watch Pittsburgh?
Right. And then they talk about Drew Breeze. Our defense is playing well also.
No question about that. Until Pittsburgh, I don't believe they allowed a score in the Pittsburgh game in the fourth quarter, but before that, they hadn't allowed a score in the second half at all. So, I appreciate that.
Everybody talk about Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown is a beast, man. He's going to get his yards, but when you shut the offense down, that's the best you can do.
No question about it, man. Trent, thanks for the call, brother. We're up against the break, man. Don't be a stranger. Even when G-Cat is back, make sure y'all call into the show and give him hell while I'm gone. Appreciate that phone call. Steve, we're going to take Steven real quick before we hit the break. Steven, bro, did you order our Chick-fil-A? Because I'm hungry.
Yeah, no, man. I'm sorry, man. I'm at work right now, man.
It's all good, brother. I understand that feeling. What's going down?
Yeah, bro, I was going to say, I think, you know, the whole thing with the Sean Payton with the trophy thing, I think that is true because I went to go pick up my playoff tickets Monday. And, you know, when you walk into the facility, the trophy's right there. Well, it was gone. And I asked the girl, I said, well, where's the trophy at? And she's like, oh, I think they're getting it cleaned or whatever. So now that you're saying that, it makes me think, well, maybe that is true. Maybe he did do that with
it. We all know Sean loves to use those motivational tactics, man. Now, again, I got this on a whisper. I can't really say. I can't confirm it. I wasn't there. Didn't see it. But I know Sean is known to do things like this, so it's not far-fetched to say that he probably did something like this. And we all know Sean probably added a couple of expletives.
Makes sense to me, man.
Yeah, so let me get your score prediction, brother. And who do you think would be the best guy to lead the Who Dat chant?
I say the score will probably be Saints 26, Eagles 10.
I like that. I can rock with that. 26-10 is going to be a tougher game than last time. I can see that. And who do you want to lead the Who Dat chant?
I'd probably say Steve Gleason.
I like that, man. No doubt. No white flags around these parts, man. Thank you so much for the phone call, brother.
No,
don't
sir.
Be a stranger. And I'm waiting on my Chick-fil-A. I'll be standing outside, bro. Thanks for the phone call, man.
All right, bro.
All right, brother. Take care, man. We're going to hit the break real quick. Again, the first hour of the show brought to you by the King Injury Firm. 504-909-KING. Call the guys, Jason. I'm pretty sure a commercial is going to play real soon. You'll get all the details from that, man. So make sure you guys check them out. If you're involved in an accident, do not be a stranger. Call the King Injury Firm. I know those brothers well. They will take good care of you and your family. Give them a ring. We're going to hit the break real quick. We'll come back. We see the phone calls are lighting up. Of course, we're going to bring in the beautiful and talented Shakira Martin, Fox 15 in Lafayette. And of course, more of your phone calls and tweets, man. Send them in. See you soon.
The grit to take on any task? Come to Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat and Homa today during their big finish event. See the 2018 1500 SLT Crew Cab 4x4 with over 11,000 off MSRP or the 2018 Ram 1500 SLT Crew Cab 4x2 with over 11,000 off MSRP. WAC excludes TTNL. Chrysler Capital Incentive must finance through Chrysler Capital. Non-prime bonus for 620 or below Beacon score. Truck owner conquest must own competitor truck. Prices good on listed stock number only and good through 1-3-2019.
Bailey's Tire Service is your one-stop shop auto repair center. Their goal is to satisfy customer needs that walk through the door with their selection of Cooper, Mastercraft, and Toyo tires. Bailey's Tire Service will treat your ride like their ride. So for auto repairs from oil changes, brake repairs, Bailey's Tire Service is your complete auto repair shop. Visit them online at baileystireservice.com or check them out on Facebook.
T-Bob here, and with my heating and cooling system needs repair, you know I call the experts at River City's Total Maintenance. They're fast, they're professional, and they'll come out the same day you call. That's right, the same day, and they're going to get the job done right. You couple that with 2 and 3 year warranties and a 100% money back guarantee, and as you can see, you cannot go wrong, my friends. So if you need same day service on your heating and cooling systems, call River City's Total Maintenance at 504-841-3300. That's 841-3300, and tell them T-Bob sent you.
Ain't no place to be on Mighty Broad Day.
Mighty Broad Day.
It's Mardi Gras time, and Joe's Septic Contractors would like to let everyone know that there is still time to call in your orders for portable toilets and hand wash stations. You can order 2, 3, 6, 10, and 18 stall restroom trailers from everyone at Joe's Septic Contractors. Have a happy and safe Mardi Gras. Call 985-632-5592 or visit joeseptic.com.
No way. You Bet Your Boots footwear store has been in business since 1979. Looking to gift boots this holiday season? Their best sellers are the Irish Setter, Two Harbors, and Marshall series. You Bet Your Boots also carries Red Wing, Irish Setter, Works, and Dan Post. Do you have foot, knee, or back pain? Try their corrective insoles and footwear by Spenco. Focusing mainly on the working man, they can also accommodate a casual fit in their Dan Post line. So shop until you drop at Bet Your Boots on Bayou Gardens Boulevard for discounts between 15% and 20%.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
I know it's hump day. I know we're supposed to play the hump day intro and welcome you into the midway point of the week, but nah, I'm in my feelings right now. All of the national love that Philly has got me in my feelings. Maurice Jones-Drew, the meatball with feet himself, has me all in my feelings about why people keep telling me that the Saints should be afraid of the Philadelphia Eagles and the Nick Foles magic coming in. But I know, I actually thought I was going to get this phone call for the second hour of the show when I was talking Pels, because I know my man Cajun Goat always comes in and brings the heat when he's talking Pels, man. But right now I got him in with the Saints. What's up, Cajun Goat?
Yeah, bud, you're doing a good job today, my fella.
Thank you.
Let me tell you something, man. I am so tired of them telling me how Nick Foles is the next coming of Tom Brady. Can you remember before the playoffs started last year how this guy couldn't complete a pass?
Duck.
He only had two good games in the playoffs last year, and that's the ones that counted, against a Viking team that we destroyed physically, and
yeah,
against
no question.
The Patriot team that never had a defense. Okay? So this guy is not some proven commodity that he should be changing out Carson Wentz or this or that. He actually put out two turnovers last week.
Indeed.
So this is the savior that's going to come to the dome and beat the best team in the NFC. Are you kidding me?
That's what I can't understand. I mean, people are acting like Nick Foles alone is going to walk in. Because last time I checked, Cajun Goat, Nick Foles don't play defense. And that's who got 48 points hung on them. So I'm not understanding how Nick Foles is just going to walk in and he's going to automatically erase a gap of 41 points. And again, we keep saying 41 points. The Saints started to basically run the clock with 13 minutes left in the fourth quarter after Alvin Kamara scores that last touchdown to make the score 48-7. So I'm not understanding where all of this love is coming from, why everybody is on this Philadelphia hype train when we're talking about Nick Foles. And according to my clock, my watch, my iPhone, that boy's about to turn into a pumpkin real soon.
Real quick. And another thing, Mitch Trubisky had all the time in the world
Amen.
To throw the ball.
He just couldn't
complete
passes. Where's
the defensive line this guy was talking about from Philly? He had all the time, and I think the Chicago got away from running their heavy man, number 24 for their team. I think they got away from running him, and they could have did some damage by running him.
They got too cute. Yeah. You know what? If there's anything I'm afraid of, I'm afraid that Sean Payton is going to go in his bag and maybe get a little too cute with the play calling when he actually should is line up, pound his chest, wave over to the other sideline and say, if you can stop these two, good luck. Because I want to see a heavy dose of Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, and mainly Mark Ingram, because to me, Mark Ingram is a tone setter.
He's
the guy that when the offensive line comes out there and they open up that hole and he's getting those 8 yards and he hits that first linebacker or DB. He's coming with bad intentions. I want to see that happen more.
I do, too. I think they should come out and pound him. And not only that, this is a team that's been on the road for two games straight. And
this
is a tired team coming in. You're not playing a fresh Philadelphia Eagle team, but you are playing a fresh New Orleans team. And you're going to get it. And as far as the who that chant,
yes, sir.
This is me, man. I want to go big production. I want to get a hologram of Mr. Benson and hologram him out there doing the who that chant in the middle of the field, brother. That would get the dome hype. Turn
if
the lights
that
down.
Happens, if that happens, start a GoFundMe because I'm going streaking. It's happening.
I'm going to start that page now.
Appreciate you, my brother. Thank you so much for calling in, my man. I appreciate you.
That'd be good. That would be a really good idea for the NFC Championship game.
Oh my God, man! Look, dude, if that happens, hologram style, Mr. B doing the Benson Boogie. just start the GoFundMe, because I'm going to strip down and I'm going streaking with, you know, Tom Benson is my daddy on my back. It's gonna happen. I'm sorry. Are you kidding me? Me too, Joey. It ain't pretty. It ain't pretty. But honestly, guys, I mean, think about this. We're talking about the same Philadelphia team that struggled with the Chicago Bears last week on the road. So the thing that I looked at is, congratulations, you beat the Chicago Bears. Now you get to play a well-rested, hungry New Orleans Saints team that's and this is, I think, the point that people keep forgetting. Does anybody out there think the Saints want to lose at home in the Superdome in front of their fans? Let's add to that. Does anybody think the Saints want to lose in the divisional round after what happened to them last year in Minnesota? I don't think so. I think the Saints aren't, you know, they aren't buying into the headlines that, you know, they're just, you know, they're at home, so they're going to win. I think the Saints are motivated as hell right now to go out there and prove to everybody. What's been their mantra all year? Prove them right. Not prove them wrong. Prove them right. The Saints want to go out there and absolutely smoke the Eagles because they want to send a message to whoever they play the following week. You're coming into our house and you're in trouble. And now, if you guys are watching me on Periscope right now, the smile on my face is so intense because I get to speak to the lovely, talented Eagles fan, a Texas girl, by the way, that's an Eagles fan, Miss Shakira Martin. How are you, Shakira of Fox 15 in Lafayette? How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
Doing just fine, and I just want to start straight out the gate with it.
Eagles fan, when they are about to go into the territory of the Saints.
No man's land.
Louisiana.
Yes, so I'm going to put your Louisiana card fully on display with this one. So let's get the listeners a little background info on you, where you come from, and what you do out there at Fox 15.
All right, well, I'm from Texas, San Antonio, Texas, to be exact. We don't have a football team. So by default, I got to pick and choose what team I wanted to cheer for. And at first it was the Saints because, funny story, actually, my great aunt used to work for Tom Benson, God bless his soul.
Yes.
And I grew up around the Benson family during my middle school days. And then once I started to begin understanding the knowledge of football was around 2010, and the Eagles were on fire. Michael Vick was the quarterback there, and I just fell in love with the defense. So that is how I became an Eagles fan, and then I just stuck with it. My cousin ended up playing with him, Quentin Demps, and then he went over to the Texans, and I was like, I'm not leaving the Eagles. I'm just going to stay an Eagles fan, and that's how that happened. So that happened by default. But yeah, I'm a Texas girl in Louisiana, enjoying the culture. Well, trying to get a better knowledge about the culture. I'm a crawfish eating type of connoisseur, so
yes.
I guess I'm in the right state, right?
Absolutely. And just to use my Ron Burgundy voice, when you said that you're no longer, you know, that you got to be an Eagles fan that way, I don't believe you.
What do you think? I just joined like last year.
I think you joined last year, and now all of a sudden you fly, Eagles fly. But that's okay. We're going to love you anyway.
Actually, no, because Carson Wentz played against my alma mater. I went to Sam Houston State, and
that's right.
Yeah, oh my gosh, he embarrassed us like back to back. So it was hard for me to like continue to be an Eagles fan, having the quarterback that killed my alma mater. I'm like, okay, is it Sam Houston? Or is it the Eagles? And then it just all end up working out. So that's that story.
I like this. I like where we're going with this. So because of your Eagles fandom, let's talk about what happened last week. Eagles going into Chicago. I'm not sure if you heard any of the show before you came on, but apparently you guys are the number one seed, not the New Orleans Saints, especially after beating the Chicago Bears. So let's start from behind and then work our way forward. How did you feel about the game versus the Bears? And then we'll move into what do you think coming up this week versus the Saints?
Okay, I'm not a naive fan. I felt like we won by luck, personally, and I definitely think it was a sloppy game on the Eagles. On the Eagles side, defensively, I saw like a few of the cats, the cornerbacks felt like they were holding down. But I definitely think God was on my side and wanted me to see my team play the Saints on my birthday on Sunday. So it worked out for me. It was pretty hard for me to watch that last field goal. I couldn't watch the game. It was a lot of upset that I had. The guys couldn't complete, couldn't catch the passes that needed to happen. So I think the Chicago Bears kind of gave the Eagles one, but the Eagles going into the Saints game is going to be an interesting game. They can't depend on Sproles. I personally think the matchup will be good, even though I read Rod Walker from The Advocate out there in New Orleans posted a small snippet of the Eagles basically feeling like the Saints didn't run their numbers up. And I'm like, okay, they didn't run y'all's numbers up in November. The matchups are going to be kind of cool if the Eagles can be a two-dimensional team and not one. It'll be a good matchup, defensively speaking, for the Saints, because I personally think that every time the Saints defense play a team that has the option of having missiles thrown down the field is really when they're being tested. And, I mean, we're going to see what Eli Apple and Marshawn Lattimore can do, but Eli Apple has been saving Lattimore as far as that sex news. That's just me. I ain't going to get into that. What do you think?
Well, for me... For me, I think Lattimore has kind of been living off a reputation this year. I think that his play hasn't been what we saw his rookie year, but I still think he's been solid. I think Eli Apple is the guy that impresses me the most lately, because it seems like he's starting to get more comfortable in the defense, kind of, you know, find his niche in his role. And I also think a guy like P.J. Williams being able to man the slot is kind of helping those guys on the outside just maintain what they do. That looks like there's some good communication going on. But if I had to pick a player in which I think has to have a big game or at least make a mark on this game, it'd be Marcus Williams, because we haven't him kind of making the impact that he did his rookie year. But do you mind? Can we keep you through the break real quick? We're going to take a quick break.
Yeah.
And bring you back on the other hour. Okay, we'll bring you back on the other side of this, put you on a brief hold, because I definitely want to get into more of the talk about what's going on this week before we kind of transition. And I think we're going to end off with a little basketball as well. So maybe that'll smoothly fly into the second hour when we start talking Pelicans. So bear with me for a second while we take the break, and we'll be right back with you guys. And, of course, right now we have on from Fox 15 the lovely, talented Shakira Martin, who's an Eagles fan from Texas that's now in Louisiana. We'll clear all up that confusion up when we get back.
One, two, three.
Always on the run and short on cash? With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Imagining a better bank starts with looking at the savings rates most banks offer and saying, really? Capital One is building something better. You can open a Capital One savings account with one of the nation's best savings rates from anywhere, like here,
or here,
or here. One of the nation's best savings rates. Opened online, at a Capital One location, or from anywhere. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
What's up, New Orleans? It's Matt Moscona inviting you to join me weekdays from 3 until 6 p.m. for After Further Review. I make you one promise. If you're talking about it, we're talking about it weekdays on After Further Review. Saints, Tigers, Pelicans, we got it all covered. Weekdays from 3 until 6 p.m. So tune us in and tell a friend. It's After Further Review, weekday afternoons from 3 until 6 on 100.3 ESPN New Orleans.
Sign up for the South LaFouche Diamond Club Winter Baseball Camp Saturday, January 19th, hosted by head coach Andrew Revalier, assistant coaches Chandler Guidraz, Corey Helmer, and Brian Chassois, and assisted by the South LaFouche Tarpon Baseball Team. Open to ages 5 through 14. That's South LaFouche Diamond Club Winter Baseball Camp January 19th from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. at the La Rose Regional Park. Registration begins at 8 a.m., $60 per player. Bring your glove, bat, cleats, and hat. For more information, contact Coach Revalier at sltarponbaseball@gmail.com.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
We are the Bears.
so bad, we know we're good. Blowing your mind like we knew we would. You know we're just strutting for fun.
Bars.
Strutting our stuff for everyone. We're not
bars.
You don't hear music like that anymore. That is rap greatness on display just for Shakira Martin, who's joining us now from Fox 15 over in Lafayette. Super Bowl Shuffle by the Chicago Bears. Apparently, you know, the Eagles took care of that the next time they were going to do a Super Bowl Shuffle. They're no longer doing that. Now she has to worry about her Fly Eagles Fly coming into the Superdome, trying to make up for a 41-point gap, and they believe Nick Foles' magic. There are shrines being built. There are people running down Philadelphia Parkway trying to run up to the Rocky statue or whatever that is, Broad Street, I believe. Everybody's trying to get in on this Nick Foles love. Shakira, are you buying that Nick Foles is going to come in and erase that 41-point gap and just turn the Eagles into, you know, the magic men?
Man, you're putting me in a really ugly spot. I have to go with, Nick Foles is a really extremely good quarterback. I don't think anything that he can do besides what he has already done for the Eagles is going to give them an emphasis on beating the Saints. I truly think the Saints are going to take this win. I think we all pretty know that, but the matchup will be good. I mean, Nick Foles was not a really good quarterback last week, but, I mean, he had over 260 something yards, and like his completion rate was like at a 76. That's not really bad given the fact that he did have two interceptions. I don't necessarily think he has the right amount of talent to really thrive as a team overall. I think he's just a good quarterback. Like, we're lucky to have him, but I don't think the Eagles as a team have that Super Bowl type of team that can really take them all the way and win.
Okay, I'm going to ask you this because it's been a big story that's been going on nationally right now because of Nick Foles being able to go into Chicago and win that game. And now, of course, he's going to be coming into the Superdome this week. What happens if Nick Foles is able to do the unthinkable? If he walks into New Orleans and he wins yet another playoff game, and now we're looking at the guy being pretty much undefeated in the playoffs when he's gotten his chance lately. I mean, the Saints took care of that the first time when he had Chip Kelly. But under Doug Peterson, it seems as if the Eagles just click a little bit better when Nick Foles is at the helm. And if he's able to walk into the Superdome and do the unthinkable, at what point do Eagles fans and maybe even Eagles management start looking around and saying, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, we need to keep Nick Foles and possibly see what we could get for Carson Wentz.
Well, the sucky part about it is, like, Nick Foles was always an Eagles before Carson Wentz came. And so when Carson Wentz came and, like, it put Nick Foles on the shelf again, I think he had, like, something to prove to the organization. Now, if Nick Foles come out and have the same type of postseason that he did last year, I think it's going to be kind of crazy for the organization, because Nick Foles may want to leave and be like, hey, y'all can keep Carson Wentz. Which, I mean, Carson Wentz is a good quarterback, but the kid can't even stay healthy. Indeed. So keeping him is like, is it worth the gamble? Is it worth putting all that money into a guy that's not staying healthy? He's shown time and time again that he's able to do a little something, but we can't even keep you for a full season, including postseason. So if Nick Foles come out and actually defeat the Saints, I think that's good for him, but bad for the Eagles.
Okay, so I'm going to transition a little bit very soon into Pell's talk, but before I do, I kind of want to get, maybe you can give us maybe a player from each team. Who's going to be your unsung hero? Like, when the stories are written Monday morning, what's going to be the headline from it, and what player is going to kind of be the guy that dictates that headline? And she can sing. Yes!
So, you know, I feel like I want to say it would be someone from the Saints defense that would be the headline, because the Eagles are going to, like I said, they can't, like, run the ball the entire time. But I also don't think the Saints are going to, like, be able to stay one-dimensional as well. I mean, like, of course, Michael Thomas may have the double coverage on him, but I'm still looking for one of the receivers to to come out from the Saints and have a good game. Like, Michael Thomas is undeniably good, but in order for the Saints to prove that they are a two-dimensional team, like, one of those other receivers are going to have to come out. I mean, Tre'Quan Smith hasn't been consistent like we thought we would see, but I do think he has, like, a few catches and a few big plays. But I'm also happy that Ted Jen is back. So I'm hoping that actually he's the one that comes out and have maybe like two or three touchdowns. And it's like, oh, snap. Like, not only do you got the monsters in the back, Alvin and Mark, and then you have Michael, but dang, now Ted is someone that we can for sure count on. So that means that the Saints' offense would be, like, undeniably, like, unstoppable.
No question about it. Speaking of unstoppable, I'm going to transition over to basketball real quickly, because the unstoppable rumor that's everywhere is Anthony Davis ending up with the Los Angeles Lakers or eventually being off of the Pelicans roster in general. As the fans out there in the Lafayette, Lake Charles, you know, Acadiana area, what are the thoughts and feelings about maybe Anthony Davis, possibly his long-term future in New Orleans? And what are your thoughts? Do you think he actually ends up in L.A. or Boston? Or do you think some way, shape, or form the Pelicans pull off a miracle and he remains in New Orleans?
Anthony Davis is kind of a mystery to me. When I think of Los Angeles, I think of being in the limelight, and I'm not for sure if he's that type of player that would want to go to a market that has a lot of limelight to it. I think the Pelicans, which they've won the past three games, are trying to figure things out, and the Pelicans, they don't suck. Like, they have a team. It's the bench that they don't have, and it's showing that the organization really isn't spending money during the draft that can have guys back up your starters that will allow the team to actually thrive. I think Anthony Davis, which he's made the comment that it ain't about the money, it's about his legacy. I think he would want to stay, but if he is, I kind of don't see it happening unless the organization is trying to find a way to get some kids under him to help him train and develop. I mean, Anthony Davis isn't the youngest cat out there, but he's also, like, not the oldest. I would consider him an OG. So with that being said, you got to get some young talent on that bench that he can help develop and help move the team into a positive way. And if he's willing to take that pay cut in order for the organization to do that, I don't know. He talked about legacy, so it's like, put your money where your mouth is and kind of cash out with that, sir. Like, you kind of got to give a little. And I read that if he was to leave, his contract would only – I mean, he's not leaving for much more somewhere else. I mean, probably a better winning team, but – and I hate to say only, but he would only be getting 2.6. I want to say $1 million more, which, I mean, to us, that's a big amount, like only 2.6. But to him, it's like, would that be worth your legacy with the Pelicans versus, like, giving a little and sacrificing? But, I mean, it's what you got to do to be a great. It's what you got to do to be a legacy. It's all about sacrifice and what are you willing to do. So I think it'll be interesting to see where the season goes headed into playoffs, if that's even the talk for the Pelicans.
No question about it. You guys know what I know now. She is at Shakira Martin, Fox 15, Lafayette. Lovely, talented, brilliant, and confused. A Texas girl that supports Philly but living in Louisiana. It's okay. We still love you. So thank you so much for coming on. I'm going to be reaching out soon to kind of say thanks again. Gonna have you on very soon. Thanks a lot, Shakira. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Y'all have a great day.
You got it. First hour gone already. Now I understand what the little G-Cat says when he's like, man, time flew by. I understand it fully right now because I don't even know where hour went. I know it's sponsored to you and brought to you by the King Injury Firm, 504-909-KING. You can see Jason, Brian, Tony, those guys over there. They'll take good care if you're involved in an accident. In fact, if you're walking outside and I just happen to run by streaking from Tom Benson being out there and I knock you over and you get an injury, you can call the King Injury Firm. They'll take care of you. This has been the first hour of the Sports Hangover, ESPN 100.3. ESPN New Orleans, man. Thank you all so much for tuning in. We're going to keep rocking out. Second hour, bringing in David Grubb from Crescent City Sports. We're going to talk Pels. And listen in, because I got a ticket giveaway coming up out of my own stash. Do not call the station. This is from B. See y'all soon. Second hour coming up.